This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. In the last few decades, scholars of film studies have started researching home movies, educational films, and other overlooked types of cinema. And they claim these non-theatrical movies have some significance and should be respectable research material in an academic setting. But what about the films that are even more obscure than that? Which films need to be preserved as historical artifacts and which are just plain junk? The Bastard Film Encounter is a conference this weekend that may answer some of the questions. A group of archivists and film scholars will screen some unusual, offensive, and generally speaking, lousy films. And then they're going to talk about them. Joining us to talk about them are Marcia Gordon, Associate Professor of English and the Director of Film Studies at North Carolina State University. And Skip Elsheimer is the founder of AV Geeks Archive. And they helped organize the first ever Bastard Film Encounter. It begins tonight. And I want to welcome both of you back to the program. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
So now, what is a bastard film? Marcia, I'll start with you.
Well, that's a great question, and I think I'll answer by starting to talk about the fact that there's all of this moving image material in the world, right? And what happens to it? Well, maybe it gets tossed, maybe it ends up in an archive, and then it's up to the archive in many ways to decide what to do with that material. And a bastard film is something that maybe falls outside of the clearly valuable. Let's just put it to you that way. So we talk about the fact that, you know, in the dictionary definition of a bastard is something that's irregular, inferior, or unusual. And there are many films that fit into that category that it's not clear what they were made for. They're not necessarily good by, you know, value judgment standards, certainly of the theatrical variety where we expect a certain polish. Maybe it's offensive. Maybe it documents something offensive. And so what do you do with that kind of material? And that's, you know, the question that we are attempting to at least ask, if not answer, this weekend.
And Skip, that's important because while we've got plenty of disk space in the world these days, we don't have to take up shelf space anymore to save films. The idea of cataloging them and putting them in a place and giving them a category, I think, is part of the question.
Right. It's very difficult. And there is, even though we have what seems like a lot of data available to us as far as, you know, the world of hard drives, It takes time and energy to sit and process and figure out what these things are and are they important? Why are they important? And there's a finite amount of money available for that. So the resources always translate to money, unfortunately. And so archivists have to make decisions and say, okay, well, so I have this much money. I can preserve this many films and video, but there's this one weird thing. What am I supposed to do with this? This is really awesome, but I can't figure out how I can convince other people that it is awesome or it's important, or maybe I'm just wrong and it's not awesome.
Right. But there should be a place for it. And generations from now, tastes may change, values may change,
sure,
and context may change. And that's what makes it important to save things that to us at this moment seem trivial or useless.
Well, right. I mean, one of our questions is, who are we to say right now that something is going to be important to someone 100 years from now? And so if something is not being preserved and people aren't given access to it, there's never a chance for that to, you know, object to get to the point that somebody can study it at a later date.
Here's one that I hope to be around in 100 years to prove that I'm right, that there was no point in this at all. But let's take a look. Here's a clip from one of the films that that you're actually going to present at the conference. Let's listen.
Daddy, Daddy!
Don't go!
You're going to miss my baseball game.
It's okay.
Final boarding!
Here's the brain case, please.
Daddy,
check me in, please.
Yeah! Marcia, tell us about that film.
Well, this falls into a category I think I'll refer to as films that are so bad that they are funny. We can't identify the archive or the donor of this film, and it came to them as part of a larger collection. It's not clear who actually has the rights to this particular footage, but this is a parody of a soap opera. And the kids you are hearing on screen are actually adults on their knees playing children. And it is there's aspects of it that look pretty professional in terms of the way this is shot and the way it's put together. And then there are parts of it that are so terrible, some of it obviously deliberately. But the question is, what is this? Why was it made? What on earth is it doing in this collection? And so this is one of those films that will at least allow people to laugh and also to think about, well, what do you do with something that obviously was made with a kind of parodic intention, but we don't really know what for?
Right. So this is great MST3K material. But that's the other question. If you don't have any background on it, if we don't know if it was intended to be parody or not, then later how do we put it in context 100 years from now?
That's what's so hard is that you sometimes, as an archivist, you have to sit down and figure out like, okay, so this was made, what was made around that time that this is in response to? So with this this video, it's basically in response to a bunch of the primetime soap operas that were going on at the time.
And that's one of the things we do when we take a look at horror films through the ages. They tell us a great deal about what we're anxious about in the moment that film was made. So despite the quality of the film, it is a window into our anxieties, you know, in that given moment.
It is. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it as well, is this really something worth – you know, devoting resources to saving and to keeping. And so that's part of the paradox that we're trying to address.
And years to come, when there's a whole genre of films of adults on their knees acting as children, this will be considered the grandfather of those
excellent
great films. Now, I understand there's some traumatic and disturbing films as well, Marcia. Tell us about some of those films.
Yeah, I mean, not everything that we will be screening this weekend will be enjoyable to watch. And I think that's one of the categories of the films that we're showing this weekend. And the way we put this together is we talk, you know, we kind of describe this concept of a bastard film, and then we put a call out to archivists and scholars and collectors all over the world, basically, and we got proposals, and we let them, you know, people who are proposing dictate the content, basically, of the encounter that we're having. So some of the films are really difficult to watch. And one example is there's an amateur film, which, by the way, we have not seen yet, so we have not seen all of this material. We'll be watching a lot of this for the first time, but
right.
Shot by an army doctor of a full mouth dental extraction, tooth by tooth by tooth. And we've already talked about the fact that we'll probably play that until everyone is looking away, and then, you know, we'll cut the reel. But, you know, something like that this, you know, this army dentist used to document the way that he did his work, for whatever reason, is not going to be a pretty sight to sit through.
That raises the question of who are the amateur archivists and collectors out there, and is there a growing number now that there's more video skirting the world?
Well, there is. There's more people that have taken on the role of being an archivist. With home movies, you know, we always try to empower people to take care of their own material. But there's also people that happen upon this stuff, like somebody finds it at a thrift store, and then suddenly they feel like this is something that's important that they want to hold on to and do something with. The presentation that I'll be doing is actually there's a whole bunch of fan preservationists who have decided that they are going to go and preserve a film like the way they first saw it.
Oh, I see. So to recreate the experience. Well, and I think the Boston bombing suggests something about recontextualizing film, people just shooting random videos of what they thought was going to be a kind of a light moment, all of a sudden takes on brand new meaning when everything changes.
Well, and this is the, you know, history rewritten all over again. And think about the Zapruder film. I mean, this is an example of a film that was obviously historically relevant and significant, but what about all the other many hundreds of thousands of amateur films that may not depict something that seems quite as important as that?
You have another one that you're going to show, a rare film that a lot of sci-fi nerds will be interested in seeing. This is a clip from the Star Wars Holiday Special. This is Chewbacca and his family. And I understand we're only having this is a short segment of this dialogue in this memorable film that we're about to hear right now. Well, you get the idea.
It goes on for 10 minutes, Frank.
Does it really?
10 minutes.
Without a sense
without
of word
a single,
spoken.
A single human voice.
That might be worse than the dental extraction.
Wow, this is like an hour of the North Carolina legislature
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
How about that? But this is Star Wars, for God's sake. How can they make such a bad film?
Well, that's what's fascinating. This is another interpretation of a bastard film, which is a film that was made and then disavowed by anybody who had anything to do with it. So, yes, this film, this video was made, and it was aired on primetime television right after Star Wars came out. It was introducing the new Star Wars toys and was considered to be wildly successful, but tanked in the worst possible way. And you cannot get a copy of this anywhere else.
Wow. Well, so where did you get where
this
did this come from?
This is a tape trader type of thing where somebody made a copy of it and they made a copy for a friend and they made a copy of it for a friend, etc. So it only exists in the fandom.
Wow. Is there any of the story? Because, you know, you can see the impulse. Oh, this is big. Let's make a film quick. It's the holidays. We're going to sell this thing. But even, I mean, Lucasfilms, they can put together a film quickly.
Right. Exactly.
They didn't.
No. And this is, I think this is early on before they really understood what a phenomenon Star Wars was going to be. They knew that something was big, but they didn't realize it. And so a lot of poorly made decisions. Like, for example, the characters on there are the comedians are Art Carney, Harvey Korman, and Bea Arthur.
Wow.
Which
that's,
they are
that's
all
some talent.
They're
that's some
talented,
talent.
But if you think about who that yeah. video is made for, right. kids are just not going to get it.
Who is Art Carney? Yeah. Oh, Joe. So what are some of the academic questions you're going to be asking?
Well, I mean, so basically, if the premise of this is that we are looking at, you know, films that are maybe poorly conceived or never should have been made or what have you, the question is who are we to make that judgment? How do we make that judgment? It has to be made. I mean, archivists are faced with that dilemma every single day. And so that's, I would say, the biggest question is that in this particular community, how do you begin to deal with that kind of material when there are so many other priorities that are clear?
Do you come at that question using more than just film as reference points when we think about the letters and diaries that have come to light and changed our view of history?
Oh, sure.
How much of that do you use in the triangulation of determining what may be important in the future but doesn't look good?
Well, now? I mean, there's a long history of preservation and archival access to materials, especially materials which are problematic. So we're just continuing that conversation.
And I think this is going to get more and more become more and more of a relevant discussion when you think about all of the images that are being made right now by people with cell phones and so on. I mean, there's a history of, you know, things that are, you know, quotidian or offensive being shot on film, you know, in an amateur way. But that's just prolific now. And so what's going to happen in the future?
Right. I mean, think about those horrible YouTube videos that you watch and you're like, wow, this could potentially still be around in 100 years.
No. End the cats now. Thanks so much for being on the program. Marcia Gordon, Associate Professor of English and Director of Film Studies at North Carolina State. Skip Elsheimer, founder of AV Geeks Archive. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Frank.
And thank you for listening. Both are founders of the first ever Bastard Film Encounter, and it begins tonight. Where do we see this?
Tonight at King's Barcade in Raleigh at 9 o'clock, there will be a keynote performance that's open to the public by Andy Lampert of Anthology Film Archive. It's $5 at the door. And then there will be events taking place all weekend at King's. Tomorrow night at Lump Gallery in Raleigh, we will have a free event also open to the public, including bingo. There will be Clousy's Pizza Truck there if people want to get pizza. And so you can go to the Bastard Film Encounter website for details.
All right. It sounds great. Thank you very much for being on the program, and thank you for listening. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.